The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on February 2, 2006. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. We have this precept in Buddhism, one of the pure precepts that we recite about every 6 weeks here. I vow to live in enlightenment. I vow to live in awakening. I don't know how well we understand this precept. We might think that I know I'm not enlightened, so how can I live in enlightenment? But then we also have this teaching that says, just that, we're already enlightened. So, what goes here now? When we hear, of course, that we're already enlightened, this was Dogen's big question, you know, Dogen Zenji, great 13th century Japanese Zen master. He noted that, you know, if we're already Buddha, if we're already awake, already enlightened, then why practice, basically, was his big question. And I've known people who, when they hear this, they think, well, yeah, you know, why why practice? Because we think we practice to become enlightened. And even though we're told over and over and over again that this is not the case, we don't take up the practice of meditation or the practice of following this way, the practice of these studies and things, to become enlightened. No, in fact, we're told that we already are enlightened. So then we think, well, then why put in all this effort to practice like this if I'm already enlightened? But we only think that, you see, because we think that the whole point of practice is to become enlightened. And even though we're told that this isn't the case, that the awakened will tell us over and over again, no, that's not... We don't practice to become enlightened. Still, we'll go on, insisting. Well, of course, this is the reason we would practice, to become enlightened. Isn't that what the Buddha did? He practiced, and then he became enlightened. And I want that to happen to me. So I will practice, and I will practice. And we'll practice pretty diligently for a while with that kind of understanding, maybe. But sooner or later, couple, 2, 3, 5 years go by, nothing's happened. And so we think, I don't know. I'm just going to go do more fun things than this. Not realizing that all along we've been practicing with this confused idea. Practicing to get something, practicing for gain. Of course, as I said at first, we hear this precept, we recite this precept here every 6 weeks or so. I vow to live in enlightenment. But as I said, we might think, well, but I'm not enlightened. Of course, it's because when we think I'm not enlightened, therefore I will practice to become enlightened. Even though we're told this isn't, but this is where we remain. Somehow we hear that stuff and then we just sort of fall right back into the pattern again. This is, I vow to live in enlightenment. We already are in enlightenment. We already are in reality, in truth, in realization. Why doesn't it seem like that's the case? Why do we feel like I'm not enlightened and I have to become enlightened? What's wrong here? How is it that we could be so confused like this? If I am enlightened, then why don't I know that? Why don't I feel that? What's wrong here? There's a big confusion here. And so I thought I'd like to talk about that today. Well, this matter then of I vow to live in enlightenment, to live in awakening. Why do you suppose it seems like we're not doing that? You have any idea? I've talked about this many times before. Simply put, it's just that we're not paying attention. And it's just simply that. We're just not paying attention. We're not present. We're not here. And, you know, oftentimes I get letters, I get questions from people. We talk about just coming back to here, and people ask me, what does that mean? What do you mean to come back to here? Of course, we've been here all along. We're already enlightened. We're already here. So, you know, I don't understand this, though. What does that mean to come back to here? Well, I've got a question like this, like I'm just brushing my teeth. Then I realize, oh, I'm not aware that I'm standing here brushing my teeth. I'm thinking about other things and got my day ahead and all of that. And, you know, so I'm making my plans and thinking about one thing or another. So does that mean then that I should just come back to awareness that I'm brushing my teeth right now? Well, sure. Yeah. But people want to know, what do I come back to? And this is the approach that we'll take. We take the approach of wanting to get a grip on something. So what should I return to? Is it the activity I'm doing? But what exactly is the activity I'm doing? Brushing teeth, where does that begin and end? Well, how about when I put the cap back on the toothpaste tube? And, you know, is it just that? So I just remain narrowly focused on this immediate little activity that I'm doing, but I'm also breathing. I'm also thinking. I'm hearing. So what do I come back to? We want to know. And this seems so difficult for us. Just to come back to just this. And we get frustrated with the awakening because they don't really tell us what to come back to. Just come back. Just be present. Be here. So why is it that we can't come back? Why is it even that we're confused exactly about what does that mean to come back? Come back to what? Do you know why we're confused about this? See, that's the first roadblock to awakening. See, if we were on a road toward awakening, that would be a roadblock. We're not really on a road to awakening, but if we were, this would be like a block in the road. That we're not paying attention. The second barricade we come to is, well, why aren't we paying attention? Well, you don't know why we're not paying attention, do you? Huh? We're not paying attention because we are caught up in our thinking. So even now as you sit here, you're sitting here listening to me talk right now, and you might think you're really attending to this, and maybe you are. I'm sure some of you are, at least from time to time. Maybe all of you are, at least once in a while, from time to time. But often we're not. We're off spinning in our minds, thinking about something. Maybe I said something, triggered a thought in your mind, and you're off on that thought now for a while. So you've stopped listening, you're thinking, and then maybe that thought finally just peters out or something. And then you come back. Or maybe you think, well, that's a question. He's going to ask for questions later. I'm going to have a question there, you know. And that's fine. If a question arises in your mind, that's fine. It's just that we're thinking. And while we're thinking, we're not even noticing that we're thinking. We're not attending to what is actually taking place, what is actually happening. And we do this all the time. We constantly leave this place right here. This awakening, this reality of just being right here, which is always happening, always taking place. But we leave it, you see. This is our not paying attention. We're not paying attention because we're off doing something else in our mind. So we get caught up in our thinking, our conceptualizing, and we also think that, I need to do this. And yes, we need to do this to some degree. Not anywhere near as much as we do, though. But what awakening, what living in enlightenment is about, is just coming back here and not saying anything to yourself about what is going on, but just being fully aware of what is going on. What I mean by that is not just out there, but in here as well. There isn't any real distinction between out there and in here, really. If we were fully awake and present with what's taking place, you won't be able to find that line between in here and out there. But while it seems like there is, that's what we come back to. That's, again, that frustration. What are we coming back to again? Well, it's this place where we don't even really find this distinction, this line that separates me from all of that. We're not living with the ongoing, vibrant understanding and knowing that what we experience is reality itself, is a direct realization of reality itself, because we will continuously bind it into thought. We keep going to thought, hoping that somehow we'll get the right combination, the right package arranged here, so that I'll understand. We think that our understanding will come through the way we explain it to ourselves. We don't understand that our explanation is the ongoing dialogue or monologue that's running away in our mind is just a fabrication. It leaves behind the reality that we're actually experiencing now directly. That's very functional, useful, yes, and we can learn to use that properly. But to not be deceived into thinking that somehow that's where I'm going to find the truth, that's where I will find enlightenment or awakening, is in my thinking, in my grasping, in my conceptualizing, in my believing, in my thoughts and opinions that are so important to me. But we don't realize that this has nothing to do with reality. This has nothing to do with knowing directly what is taking place. So that's getting caught up in our thinking. And because we so easily get caught up in our thinking, then here comes the next barrier. Because we're so caught up in our thinking, that when we encounter this kind of teaching, Dharma teaching, we don't hear it. That's why we can be told these things over and over and over again directly, and we react to it like it's all been spoken in code. Doesn't mean what it purports to mean, what it points to directly, as about as directly as you can. It must mean something else. I mean, we don't really think that, but that's kind of how we'll treat it. So we don't hear the teaching. Eventually we will. If you just keep, that's why it's important just to come back and to listen to this. That's what I did with my teacher. I could tell right away what he said wasn't ordinary stuff. I could just sense that immediately. I wasn't quite sure what it was he was saying, though. But I just started coming back over and over again. And I'd listen to him over and over again. I'd even hear him tell the same stories or examples over and over again. Then I started to notice at times there'd be subtle little changes in what he was saying, just coming at a slightly different angle. But you hear this over and over and over again. And sometimes I would sit and think about what he'd say, but that wasn't particularly valuable. It was just a matter of hearing it again and again. At some point, you begin to realize what's being pointed out. Because what's being pointed out is something that you already know. You already have this awakening. You already understand already, right now. But for our thinking, we miss it. We're not paying attention to what's really taking place. We're caught up in our thinking, and we don't notice it. We live out our lives as though dead to reality, dead to what is taking place. And we're dead to the Dharma at first. until we start to notice what is actually being said. But while it goes on that we don't understand what is being said, well then, we don't take this teaching to heart, because if we don't really understand it, then we don't really take it to heart. We don't. It doesn't seem real to us. Far more important things for me to do. Well, I like to listen to this once in a while, but it's far more important for me to get on with other things here now. And we still have the attitude, but I need to listen to that a little bit, because that's on my road to awakening. If I kind of learn these things, maybe I can learn to wake up. So we just operate in that way. This means that we haven't really taken the teaching to heart, and we haven't taken it to heart because we don't really understand it. We haven't heard it yet, even though we may have been listening for years. We still haven't heard it. Because if we ever do hear it, the moment you hear it, you will take it up. I don't think it's possible to actually hear this teaching and to not take it up. But we'll go on for a long time, and this is okay. This is all right. It's normal. I don't know of anybody who's just suddenly walked into this, understood it immediately, and lived out of enlightenment from just in an instant. There are stories of such occurrences, but I've just never met anybody like that. But for the rest of us, most of us, we need to come back to this and to look at it, to take it to heart, you know, so we can finally understand it, and then we can take it to heart. And then if we do take it to heart, out of understanding, out of realization of just what this is, then we practice it. We will practice it. We couldn't help but practice it. This is what what there is to do. So to understand this way is to practice this way. And this is Dogen's understanding. This is the realization that he came to. You know, people hear Dogen as a young monk questioning, well, if we're already awake, why practice? And they go, oh, why? So then, you know, I'm already awake, so I'm out of here. They forget. They didn't notice that, you know, Dogen didn't do that. Dogen, in spite of that, he continued to practice. He continued to bring himself back to this practice, to these teachings, to ponder them, to look at them, to stay with them. And what Dogen, the realization that Dogen came to by and by, was the realization that, yes, I might be Buddha already, but unless you practice this, what you manifest, what you are creating here, is one who's living out of delusion, out of confusion. You're living out of your thought, out of your grasping, out of your longing and loathing mind. So to really understand this way, then, it's not understanding an idea. It's not holding a belief. To really understand this is to practice it, is to put it into practice, to live it, to live out of it. Doesn't mean that we will be able to live out of this continuously without slipping off. I don't know of anybody who practices like that either. And I certainly don't. You do your best. You come back to this and take it up again. Every time you notice you've slipped off, you just come back. That's it. No excuse. No explanation, no argument, no pretending it's not so. You just realize what's taking place and now you get back on the path. That's what this is, our way. So to understand this, then, that you are Buddha, is to live as Buddha. I don't mean somebody else. I mean to live your life as it is. Well, Suzuki Roshi, he said, you know, you have to admit that you're Buddha. You have to admit this. In other words, stop pretending you're a deluded person, that you're really looking to gain some satisfaction in your life out of all of those things out there that you just keep chasing after, running from. Stop pretending that that is really your life and realize the life that you actually live. Because the moment we stop all of the stuff that we put on it, through our thinking, our grasping, our longing and loathing, all out of our confusion, If we stop that, we are already living the life of enlightenment. But we have to come back to that and live out of that realization. Otherwise, as the Buddha said, otherwise it's as if we're dead. We're already dead because we live as though we are like one who is dead. Dead to reality, dead to the world, dead to others, dead to how we live. So when we recite that vow, when we recite the pure precepts, you know, we have the 10 grave precepts and then we have the 3 pure precepts. The first one is, I vow to live in enlightenment. And even though, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Well, yeah, I don't know either. I don't know that I can do that. But in each moment, we make that effort. We come back to this. Say, oh, I don't understand it. Well, what's to understand? Just come back to this, to take it up. That is to vow. And the vow, it comes out of a genuine heart. If you vow this, I vow to do this. And so we make this effort to come back moment after moment in whatever activity, not just while we're sitting on a cushion between the bells, but in any moment we can take this up. Now, so that's the first pure precept. And we say, I vow to practice non-injury. I vow to live for the benefit of all beings. Well, of course, if we practice, I mean, we live out of enlightenment, we are practicing non-injury and we are living for the benefit of all. The fullest benefit to yourself is to forget yourself and to live for the benefit of all. This is understood if we live and practice out of enlightenment. When we don't understand that, then we live for ourselves and we don't realize how miserable and frightened we are. We have our little pockets of joy and happiness, you know. But the backdrop of our life is kind of terror, fear, confusion. But were we to live out of enlightenment, all of that is gone. And we're no longer concerned for this petty little self here, really. That's the best way to take care of it, the best way to take care of everything. So if you hear anybody say, well, yeah, you know, as Dogen said, why practice? You haven't recite the rest of what Dogen said. He practiced. Well, any question about what I've said here today? Yeah, Matt.
What was the rest of what Dogen said? Did you
say Dogen's life? Look at him. That's what he said. Look at how he lived. He didn't say, why should I practice if I'm already Buddha? No, he practiced. See, we'll do things like this. You have to be watching that, you come up with your explanation. Just the fact that you have an explanation is already off. But we'll come up with our explanation to justify our behavior and why I don't need to practice anymore. I've done that now for a while, and I've come to realize, as Dogen did, that we're already enlightened. We'll misinterpret that. We'll put our own little spin on it. We'll turn it in such a way to justify or to kind of accommodate our own egoistic desires. You got to watch for that. And if you are truly desirous of being happy, not confused, to live in freedom, if you truly desire that, don't do that. Don't twist it. Start to recognize when you're entering into it and you're trying to manufacture and spin it out in such a way that will accommodate me. So you have your justification for why you behave this way and why you do this or that. To live out of awakening has no justification, no explanation, nothing to say. And this is, again, why we get frustrated at times with this teaching, because we always operate out of the idea, the graspable thing, the reasoning and the explanation, why to do this or why to do that. And so when we hear this, just come back. Well, come back to what? What graspable thing do I come back to? You just come back. Just recognize when you're off in your spinning mind and stop. Just come back now. come back to what? Well, nothing in particular, just this. Just be back, just be here, be present in this moment right now. It takes time for us to hear that and to realize it, and then to finally to just actually take it up and to live out of that. You know, we're so interested in enlightenment, I want it, it sounds like something great, but, you know, well, start to look at what it is we're talking about here, what it is we're pointing to, that these teachings point to over and over again. Without this understanding, proper understanding, we kind of carry on as if we think somehow, I don't know, I'll just kind of go along with this way for a while, and eventually enlightenment will just sort of land on me. You know, just boom. That old meatball story, you know, just the old. And that's kind of, that's sort of what we think. But, no, that meatball will never land on you. Or if it did, it's just going to be a gooey mess. I mean, it's just. Awakening is not something like that. It is right now, in this moment, right here, with you right now. Not a way to look at it. The mind is already, well, this is reality. Your mind is not separate from that, from reality itself. And it is all right here, ready to be seen. Not as any particular thing, but just right here. We don't see that because in front of it, we have all these ideas, all this thinking is going on, all this grasping. Were we to just stop that for a moment, there's reality. It's right there. What's one of the ways to recognize that you're doing this? Well, this is, like I've talked about before, I used to use the term leaning mind. You start to recognize when your mind is leaning towards something. Wanting something. We're wanting the world to be some other way than it is. I want it to be different than this. And so now what do I do about that? But when we phrase it in that way, we look at it in that way, now we will act out of our intention, out of our own desire to have things different. But the awakened, if we're acting out of this awakening in this moment, we don't look at the world that way. The bodhisattva, or one who practices in this way, one who would devote their life to this way, wants precisely this. This that is coming up. Well, what is coming up exactly? Well, nothing in particular, and you can't get hold of it, but this is what you want. If what you want is this, then there's no longing for some other moment or for things to be some other way. And I think, well, that's no good, because, you know, look how lousy and miserable the world is. Yes, but first of all, at this point, you're not creating that. Secondly, because you're not creating it, now there's a place in the world where this can all come to an end. There's a place where people can look to see how this reality of awakening that is already there to be practiced can show up, can begin to manifest in the world. Anything short of that is we're acting out of our grasping, our greediness. And even though, yeah, I'm greedy for something good. I want peace and harmony in the world. But just the very fact that we take it in that way, it already resembles the very thing that we are trying to defeat and to get away from. We have to recognize that at some point. Otherwise, we go on perpetuating out of our goodness of heart and wanting things to be good and proper and right, and we want people to wake up to all the cruelty, the human cruelty that goes on in the world, all of that. But what we don't understand is that we are contributing to that same confused mess there. And then we think we're talking about non-action, that we need to stop. But you can't stop. Nothing stops. Everything is continues, and it's just this motion. It's really a matter of, are you awake to what is taking place in this moment, or are you not? And if you're not, then it perpetuates the very thing that you want to escape from. Were you awake in this moment? Now what's the problem? And you say, well, it's still out there with you. Yeah, you know, and so we call this muddy water. And our job is not to clean up that muddy water. Our job is maybe to deal with that muddy water, but the proper way to deal with it is to, here's the pure precepts again, to purify your own mind, which is what we've been discussing. Now, how do you do that? You do that by looking at your life, looking at your living. Yes?
Do you ever get to the point where our awakening or our awareness, when we can bring it back to where we are here and now, that it's easier to shut off the chatter and the distraction of our minds or brain?
You can't, don't try to shut off the chatter. Yeah, you can't do that. It is just to come back. Let the chatter go to the background. If you don't keep feeding it, eventually it gets weaker and it drops away. Yeah. So we have to just bring ourselves back. And, we think that somehow bringing back, suddenly everything goes quiet. Well, that's not necessarily the case, But it's one thing to be totally engrossed in that chattering, and we don't even realize where we are. We're here in this room, you're sitting here, we don't even realize that. You're driving the car, you ever experienced that? You're on the freeway, so you're heading up to Duluth, say, All of a sudden you're in Hinckley, and wow, how did I get here, and yet you made every turn, and yet the whole time, you weren't even aware that you were even driving a car, because the chattering is so intense. So just realize here you are. Now you're back here. Of course, that chattering might still be going on to some degree. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just don't feed it. Just stay here. See if you can stay here. Pretty soon you'll be gone again, but just come back. If it's driving, whatever it is you're doing. We learn to exercise this, practice this. Because if we don't, then we will continuously remain in this life of distraction, just not being here. And these thoughts and worries and concerns, they really build up. We construct whole realities, worlds out of these things. And that we're living as if we're living out of such things. And yet all the while we're right here, carrying on in very strange ways. When we become a full-blown psychotic, say, and now the chattering, we actually start talking out loud. We're walking down the street just talking to nobody. Sometimes people are like this, and then we say, well, that person is psychotic, that person is crazy. But do we think of ourselves as psychotic and crazy, even though all we've learned to keep our mouths shut, but our mind is still rattling away like that, you see? We are kind of psychotic, just as psychotic. It's just that we've kept enough of a barrier so other people don't quite notice that. That's all. But from a Buddhist standpoint, from the standpoint of awakening, it's still psychosis. We are crazy. Yeah. Of course, we're all kind of crazy, so then we think, well, this is kind of normal. This is Well, no, you can actually change this and become truly sane. To be awake is to be sane, to be here, to be not in touch with reality, because what we come to realize is that there's no you separate from it in the first place to get in touch. We live it and experience it and know it and realize it directly. And it involves very little chatter. Once in a while, a thought or two, a phrase, an idea needs to come up. Like if I have to give a talk like this, well, I'll think a few things through, But otherwise, I don't. Like I take walks around Lake Harriet, much of the time I just want to walk. I don't want to think, But then once in a while, a thought will come, a thought to give a talk, a thought that I might want to use in my book. I carry a little pad with me, too, and I'll write it down, if a good thought arises there. Then I'm done. When I'm doing that, that's what I'm doing. Okay, now I've got a thought here, I'm writing this down. Okay, now I put it away. And then I'll just walk again. No words, just walk. And different things happen. I hear things, I see things. I don't comment on it. And once in a while, there will be a comment. Okay. If it's something kind of inane, stupid, I'll just let it chatter away in the background, and it doesn't hang around very long. It's gone. But something that, that's a good idea for a talk. Maybe I'll jot it down. I don't know. But it's kind of like that. So I mean, it isn't a matter that we don't think and we don't conceptualize. We do, but we can learn to do it efficiently. We can learn to do it clearly, concisely, directly, intentionally, purposefully, when it's time to do that. The rest of the time, we don't need to walk around in a psychotic state. You know, full of our fears and worries and all kinds of things, and fantasies and imaginations, and you're thinking about somebody, and you built up all this kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with them. So now the next time you meet them, you're kind of angry about something that because you built it up in your mind somehow. Yeah. So our way, our practice, is to live in enlightenment, live in awakening. Realize when you're doing that sort of thing. Start to recognize that. And don't then get all upset and say, I have to push this. Well, you can't push it off. That's what you're doing right now. But just be aware that that's what you're doing. Now just walk on. But don't keep feeding it. And that kind of stuff gets weaker and weaker. It never goes away, because there's always little things that will keep coming up like that. But you can learn not to walk around with it all the time, you know. And then one thing going to another. You ever trace your thoughts sometimes where you're thinking about this, and pretty soon you're over here, and you're over here, and you're over here, and, you know, one thing leading to another. But I think for many of us, we'll live out our whole lives like this. Never once tasting and knowing freedom and just being present here. Yeah, Michael.
So then does it mean we can operationalize enlightenment by saying it is like taking all your thoughts and banishing them from your brain and putting them into your Palm Pilot?
Well, no, I, as I was just saying, first of all, we don't cultivate enlightenment. Enlightenment is already here. And we don't banish our thoughts. We can't do that. That's what I was saying. But we can gradually learn some inane chatter just rambling on in our mind. We can start to recognize that and leave it. Just let it be. Come back to whatever it is you're doing. Come back to this. And you might still, in your mind's ear, you're still hearing this chattering going on, perhaps. That's all right. Don't be disturbed by it. I think a lot of times people, you know, we get the wrong idea and we think somehow I have to shove that out, I have to kill it. And then we get frustrated because we can't. Because you really can't. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? But you can stop feeding it. And stop taking it so seriously. Anything else?
I noticed the feeling of commentator all the time, it seems to be the feeling of watching all that, even then, is a thought that just keeps popping up a lot. It's mm-hmm. subtle. Sometimes it's even nonverbal. It's still there and it's very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't know what to do.
Just realize that that's happening and come back to what you're doing. If you're walking, walk. You know? If you're doing the dishes, do the dishes. And don't be alarmed or concerned about the commentator or the comments, any of that. All of that's just being manufactured. Just get back to attending to what it is you need to do. And if what you need to do in this moment is to think, well, then do it. But if you can learn to keep all this extraneous chatter out of it, you can think with more concentration and more clearly. And if you want, you know, to live the creative life, well, just see if you can just make your mind quiet. Now just walk along, do whatever it is you're doing. And then these are the things that will just come right out of the blue for you. If there's not a lot of chatter going on, probably more likely these things will fire in you, you know. So then you can live the creative life. You know. Yeah, because you can't force creativity. But what we can learn to do is to get out of the way. So it will just come forth. Well, maybe we've gone on long enough. Huh? Is there one more burning question? Mike, do you have a burning question?
That there's a confusion here between being aware of thinking and being caught by thinking.
Yeah.
Kind of a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we're lost in the thinking, it's just the inane chatter that's going on, you know. So it's not like thinking itself, you know, we should never think. You know, no, we need to think. But if we're thinking, be aware of thinking. Whatever is taking place, just be aware. But be aware of it in a very general kind of way, not holding tightly to anything. That's kind of our awareness. We talk about samadhi, single-pointed concentration, and then we think we're talking about something very tiny and small, as if we're focused on some object, but that's just it. See, now you're focused on some particular little point. No, the actual concentration that we have is on no point whatsoever. It doesn't have any size to it. And it's all-encompassing. Anything that's there is in this awareness. So we don't hold to anything in particular. Though if that moment it's time for us to take up something in particular, well, then take it up. But you can still now take it up knowing full well what you're doing and not let the extraneous thing, that background kind of stuff, just remains gradually that can become weak. Like I say, I don't think you can ever get rid of it. I don't know that you want to get rid of it necessarily, but it can become kind of weak. So you can stay with whatever it is that you need to do. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.